In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is risen. The Sunday of the blind man. The blind man stands for us today as an experience that we all have. An experience that we all have when it comes to how Christ heals us. Here with the blind man, Jesus heals him by stages. For the blind man, the stages are not always equally matching for all of us here to what the blind man experienced. But for the blind man, his body was healed through the divine hands of Jesus Christ. And then, through this lengthy dialogue and ordeal that he is put through because of that healing, he comes to the healing of his soul. So that's how the gospel concludes. He believes, and then he worships Christ. So let's focus on how these stages come about, and we'll learn something of our Lord's character and his relation to us. A method of healing, which is the method, in some sense, the method of our salvation. So what does Christ first do? He reveals himself. This is the culmination of him revealing himself as the deliverer that is prophesied. But people do not come to know this truth all at once, nor is it for all people to come to know it. Not even for the blind man. Because the gospel begins, and this interaction begins, without a word from the blind man. He's not one of those that's calling out to Jesus. Jesus goes toward him. The gospel says as if he is passing by. But we know that our Lord doesn't do anything without a purpose. And so the fathers say, though it's spoken as though he is passing by, we know that he has gone to find this blind man. And our Lord starts a sequence that ends with this blind man proclaiming him as his Lord and God, the Son of Man, that divine title, and worshiping him. In other words, that Jesus is that prophesied deliverer and savior. The recovery of the sight of the blind, to sight of the blind, is prophesied in the book of Isaiah. It's what the deliverer will do when he comes. Here, Jesus performs the fulfillment of that prophecy. And in the gospel according to St. Luke, we hear that Christ begins to reveal himself as this fulfillment of prophecy by reading this very passage, the recovery of the sight to the blind. And he declares that he will be the one that fulfills this. And indeed, at that time, they seek to kill Christ. For that. St. John Chrysostom understands that the blindness of this man relates not to a cause of his own, not because of a sin that he committed, but that the Lord, in healing illness, is manifesting his works and his glory. So it's not that the Lord made this man blind in order to reveal himself, but that the illness exists so that God will heal. It's in the healing that the glory is revealed. Blessed Augustine also makes the point that it is a work of the entire Trinity, because no one person of the Godhead acts of his own accord apart from the other two. He summarizes it with a formula: the Father by the Son and in the Holy Spirit. It is the Trinity, but it is the operation of the Trinity as one. So what does our Lord do, this action of the Trinity? He goes up to the man who hasn't spoken a word, and he forms clay from his own spittle, and he puts that clay into the man's eyes. St. Ephrem the Syrian says that the Lord's saliva became thus a key for his closed eyes, healed both the eye and the pupil through water. and from the water, the clay brought wholeness to the deficiency. When they would spit at him in the face, his coming ordeal, those eyes of the blind that he had opened with his saliva would testify against them. So St. Ephrem's highlighting that our Lord has began this sequence knowing what is about to happen and gives him what is necessary. And then he sends him to wash in the pool of Siloam. And St. Ephrem again says this about that pool. It was not Siloam that opened the blind man, just as it was not just the waters of the Jordan that purified Naaman and his illness in the Old Testament. It was a command that affected it. So too is not the water of our atonement, our baptisms, that cleanse us. Rather, it is the names pronounced over it that give us the sacrament. It is the work of the Holy Trinity in those substances that begins to change a man. That's the stage that we must all enter. It is the work of the Holy Trinity that begins the restoration. So the man's body is restored, but the completion of the restoration of his soul is not yet there. Our Lord declares himself as the light of the world, who will illumine the darkness. And then he goes and finds this blind man and illumines his darkness, of his body first, and in time of his soul. We ask for that very same thing on this day during the Matins canons. One of those says that we ask the Lord to shine in me with the bright rays of the day, O noetic sun, S-U-N, and thereby make the night give way to the light. So we place ourselves in the worship of the church within the experience of the blind man. Darkness is that representation of godlessness, while light is the representation of knowledge and communion with God throughout the scriptures, from Old Testament to New. And Jesus Christ is here identifying himself as God by saying that I am the light. Daytime for us represents this lifetime, while night represents the time after death. The interchange between day and night in this passage is a metaphorical way of saying that now we have time, and then at night we'll have no more time. Daytime is the time, the light of the day, where we can walk with God. But the night is that general darkness where we can no longer go about and experience the works of God, for we cannot see in the darkness of the night. St. Ambrose underscores this very meaning of Christ as the daytime and the light by exhorting us to take this time, our life, our time in prayer, in services, in doing good works, to come to know Jesus Christ by the light of his divinity, not just by the fleshly manifestation of the man Jesus, but that we may know him as light and come to see him by faith when we no longer have fleshly eyes. So, this man's fleshly eyes are healed, but the eyes of his faith are yet to be healed. The healing that makes this man given makes the man give an account before the synagogue. It must have been a shock to those present to see a man with mud covering his eyes be led or make his way to the pool of Siloam, wash in it, receive his sight, and then be filled with light for the first time. And then walk back amongst the people, no longer a disabled beggar, but a changed man. And so the Pharisees take notice on this account, and his account that the healed man, the formerly blind man, gives is none other than giving them the light of truth as he knows it. And we can see this because his account is the same each time, but his understanding of what happened is different than the two times that he gives his account. It's a simple account. He repeats it twice. But those who are questioning, they aren't looking for the truth. They're just simply looking for a way to deny the truth and then to condemn Jesus. In the first account, he ends his statement by claiming that Jesus is a prophet who has done a great thing to heal and that he is a prophet of God. True, but not the complete truth. His understanding is not fully there yet. He knows of God's goodness, but he does not yet know God. They call his parents. His parents tell them, talk with him. We know, we can vouch that he was blind and now he sees, but we do not know how he's of age. And so they call him back a second time, and the blind man then begins to defend in a greater way the fact in the light of truth. He begins then with a bold, challenging question. Will you too be his disciples? You too. He's already including himself, not just as saying that this man Jesus is a prophet, but that I am one of his disciples. Not yet knowing, never having seen him yet, he is now among his disciples and including himself in there. St. Cyril of Alexandria, who we are commemorating today, speaks of this passage and he says it is as if it were revealed his own condition of mind by saying, do you too want to be his disciples? That he was not willing, he was willing to become, but has actually already become a disciple. And in some degree, even before he had the fullness of faith, acting upon the precept, freely you have received, freely give, he was prepared at once and very unselfishly to communicate his advantages to those who were questioning him. He shares with them, he goes on to share the proper understanding of the miracle that he experienced. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone had opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. He defends still by what he only knows and has a proper understanding of Moses because all he seeks is the truth. But for standing up and speaking the truth as best as he could, he is cast out by the synagogue rulers, by the Pharisees. And now we come to the renewal of his soul. And it's accomplished again by Jesus finding him. St. Augustine says in this interim, when he's cast out of the synagogue and before Christ finds him and what he speaks, he says, he who spake these words to the Pharisees had not yet washed the face of the heart in Siloam. The sacrament had gone before on his eyes, but in the heart, it had not yet affected the blessing of grace fully. When did this blind man wash the face of his heart? It's when the Lord admitted him into himself after he had been cast out by the Jews. Jesus, knowing that all had taken place after bestowing the bodily healing, goes to him again and poses a question. Do you believe in the Son of Man? To which the reply comes, Lord, I believe, and he worships him. Then his soul is healed. It is completed in faith and in worship. The soul has united to its Creator. The heart is now cleansed. Our Lord completes the knowledge of and the belief in the Son of Man as God, who is Jesus Christ. And the spiritual blindness is now healed. The Son of Man is that divine title that's used in the Old Testament. Everyone understands that the Son of Man is not just any human being or even a very special human being, but the Lord coming on the clouds. Christ offers the complete healing for the soul of this man and reveals that he is the very Son of Man who is speaking to the healed man. This principle of faith and worship, the interaction of faith and worship, St. Basil the Great comments on, and it's really important, will end taking this point to heart. He says this: worship follows faith, and faith is confirmed by power. But if you say that believers also know, they know from what they believe, and vice versa. They believe from what they know. We know God from his power. We therefore believe in him who is known, and we worship him who is believed. My dear ones, with this miracle, we see that God sometimes reveals himself by stages. We would like to know more of him, but that is not to be just yet, perhaps. We must go through a time of trial, like the blind man before the Pharisees. Christ does not seem to be present, yet this is not truly so in the Spirit. The light of his knowledge, though not complete, is there. It was there for the blind man, gave him the words to speak, because the Lord sought him out. So have boldness to adhere to the truth like the man that defends what he knows to be true, and by that courage in the Lord who has not yet completed the healing. The more Christ is revealed, the more that we come to worship and know him. Each of you experiences this in some measure. It is a fact of this earthly existence as Christians. We struggle. We have hardship. We might not always know of the fullness of God's presence because we aren't fully illumined and see him with the eyes of faith fully healed yet. But what is the lesson of the blind man? To trust the truth. And the truth is in God. He will come. It may be at a time that seems the hardest and seems the darkest, the most lonely. But if you trust in him, he will open your eyes and you will know him as the deliverer and the light of the world, which no man can take away from your sight. This is what the blind man did. Having received our sight and becoming illumined by that light that is God, let us believe, worship, and glorify his power that saves us and to know our God, just as that man did. Christ is risen.